trahi par les ministres Cartier et McDonald.
Lettre de John A. McDonald, gouverneur général, le comte de Dufferin, Ottawa, le 2 juin 1873. My dear Lord Dufferin, I think that an amnesty for all occurrences during the disturbances of 1869-1870 should be granted, except with respect to those who were concerned in the murder of Thomas Scott. This will not completely satisfy the half-breeds. It will, however, have the effect, I think, of making them feel safe as a body. And it will have a tendency to isolate Riel from them. This will, I hope, drive him out of the country. If he is tried at Manitoba, he will either be acquitted or the jury will not agree. And while he is there, he will be a continual firebrand. Lettre de Sir John A. Macdonald au lieutenant-gouverneur du Manitoba, R.J. Archibald. My dear Archibald, we are looking anxiously for your report as to Indian titles, both within Manitoba and without. We should take immediate steps to extinguish the Indian titles somewhere in the fertile belt in the valley of the Saskatchewan and open it for settlement. Would you kindly give us your views on that point, officially and unofficially? Dieu qui vous a toujours dirigé et assisté jusqu'à l'heure présente ne vous abandonnera pas au plus fort de vos peines, car il vous a donné une mission qu'il vous faudra accomplir en tout point, moyennant la grâce de Dieu. Ignace Bourget, évêque de Montréal.
Du lac au Canard. La police est venue nous attaquer. Nous l'avons rencontrée. Dieu nous a donné victoire. 30 métis et 5 cris ont soutenu le combat contre 120 hommes bien armés. Après 40 minutes de lutte, les ennemis ont pris la fuite. Bénissez Dieu du succès qu'il a eu la charité de nous accorder. Soulevez-vous, faites face à la police et soyez certains que la foi fait des prodiges.
Hey!
la victoire de Lance aux poissons. Aux Métis et à nos chers parents indiens, chers amis, jusqu'ici, il a plu à la divine providence de favoriser nos faibles armes. Le 24 avril s'ouvrit un combat qui se prolongea 9 heures de temps et durant lequel le canon tonna terriblement en vomissant sans relâche le fer et le feu sur nos volontaires qui se conduisèrent en cette journée comme des héros. Le général Middleton, qui s'en venait pour prendre Batoche, n'a pas remué de place depuis 8 jours. Et nous avons tout lieu de croire qu'il ne nous attaquera pas avant d'avoir reçu de nouveaux renforts. Nous vous demandons de nous envoyer 250 hommes afin que nous puissions venir à bout de Middleton et amener le gouvernement d'Ottawa à traiter avec nous et à lui faire reconnaître et respecter nos droits, le droit des Métis et des Indiens. Courage! Venez-vous-en tous! batoche. La défaite. Malgré l'écrasante majorité de l'armée du général Middleton, le chef des patrouilles métis, Gabriel Dumont, confond et intimide les forces canadiennes. Depuis une semaine, le général hésite à attaquer. Ses pertes sont nombreuses. Ses incursions ont peu d'effet. Les tactiques de Dumont, elles, sont couronnées de succès, faisant paraître ses troupes beaucoup plus nombreuses qu'elles ne le sont en réalité. Riel, lui, se promène dans les tranchées, armé de son crucifix, et dit à ses soldats de prier. Il les encourage. Et finalement, à Batoche, les prêtres catholiques, défiant l'autorité de Riel, révèlent à Middleton la véritable puissance des forces métisses, leur manque de munitions et l'épuisement de leurs provisions. Même s'ils résistent farouchement, ils sont finalement vaincus le 12 mai 1885. Gabriel Dumont réussit à s'échapper, tandis que Louis Riel se rend deux jours plus tard.
man charged on the information and complaint of Alexander D. Stewart of the city of Hamilton in the province of Ontario, who saith that Louis Riel, being a subject of Our Lady the Queen, not having the fear of God in his heart, but being moved and seduced by the instigation of the devil, as a false traitor against our said Lady the Queen, did at the locality known as Batoche in the said Northwest Territories of Canada, maliciously and traitorously attempt and endeavor by force and arms to subvert and destroy the constitution and government of this realm as by law established, and thereby deprive and depose our said Lady the Queen, her crown and dignity. Members of the jury, you will bear in mind that because of the defense counsel's plea of insanity, they ask that the defendant not be held responsible for his statements. Prisoner Riel, if you have any remarks to make to the jury, it is now your time to speak.
Your Honor, gentlemen of the jury, it would be easy for me today to play insanity. The circumstances are such, it would excite any man. I cannot speak English very well, but I will try, because most of those here speak English. When I came back to the Northwest Territories in 1884, I found the Indian sufferings, the half-breeds eating the rotten pork of the Hudson Bay Company and getting sick. No one can say that the Northwest was not suffering last year, particularly the Saskatchewan. What I have done rested certainly on the conviction that I had to do something for my country. I believe that I had a mission. I believe that I have a mission at this very moment. I wish you to believe that I'm not trying to play insanity. There is, in the manner of a man, the proof that he is sincere, not playing. You will ask, what have you to say? I have to attend to practical results. Is it practical to be acknowledged as a prophet? Is it practical to say it? The half-breeds have not acknowledged me as a community to be a prophet, and I have reason to believe that it is beginning to become practical. But I'm simply one of the flock, equal to the rest. I am glad the crown has proved that I am leader of the half-breeds. That is important to remember. It means I stand in this dock as the chosen representative of a whole people, the half-breeds. Can a whole people be guilty of treason? In 1871, when the Fenians came to Pembina, Governor Archibald was anxious to have my help. I brought 250 men. He said, if Riel comes forward, we will protect him. Protect! I've been hunted like an elk for 15 years. The Manitoba Act, and I can say that I am the father of Manitoba, says that a temporary government will be put in the Northwest for no more than 5 years. It has lasted for 15. This is against the Manitoba Act, against the Treaty of the Northwest. How could Afrique people feel any security? They had no rights. Their leaders were always threatened. In the beginning of this trouble, 700 or 800 people came to Red River and tried to take possession of the land. Why did they do this without consulting the people? We took up arms, we negotiated, and a treaty was made by a delegation from both parties. Our provisional government was recognized as a tribal or social body, and we were asked by Ottawa to keep the peace. But our delegates, how were they received in Canada? They were arrested. Who makes nations? God. And as a good father, he gives a portion of his land to that nation or tribe. And that is their heritage. But God cannot create a tribe without locating it. We are not birds. We have to walk on the ground. I say that I have been blessed by God. He kept me from bullets when bullets marked my hat. God directed me to lead my people, to understand how best to go about their grievance attended to, without reserves to arms. And they were with me. We tried appeals. Petitions were sent for years. They hardly bothered to reply. Instead, all they have done is send police. And more police. This is insanity, complicated by paralysis. If you take the plea of the defense that I am not responsible for my acts, acquit me, since I've been quarreling with an insane, irresponsible government. If you pronounce in favor of the crown, which contends that I am responsible, acquit me all the same. You are perfectly justified in declaring that having my reason and sound mind, I have acted reasonably and in self-defense, while the government, my accuser, has been irresponsible and consequently insane, cannot but have acted wrong. And if high treason there is, it must be on its side and not on my part. I put my speech under the protection of my God, my Savior. Your Honor, gentlemen of the jury, I thank you for your attention and your patience.
Louis Riel, you have been found guilty of the most pernicious crime a man can commit. You have been found guilty of high treason. You have been proved to have let loose the floodgates of violence. You have managed to arouse the Indians and have brought ruin and misery to many families. If you had simply left alone, were in comfort, and many were on the road to affluence. For what you did, your remarks form no excuse whatever, and the law requires you to answer for it. It is now my painful duty to pass sentence on you, and that is that you be incarcerated till the 18th September next, and that you then be taken to the place appointed for your execution, and there be hanged by the neck until you are dead. And may God have mercy on your soul.
Je prie le révérend père Alexis André de voir à ce que mon corps soit transporté à Saint-Vital, afin que mes très bons parents, mes bons amis prient pour moi. Car tout prophète que je sois, Il faudra en expirant que je rende compte de ma mission. Et j'ai besoin que les prières les plus ferventes accompagnent mon esprit devant le juge éternel. Notre Père qui êtes aux cieux, que votre nom soit sanctifié, que votre règne vienne, que votre volonté soit faite sur la terre comme au ciel. Donnez-nous aujourd'hui notre pain de ce jour. Pardonnez-nous nos offenses comme nous pardonnons à ceux qui nous ont offensés. Et ne nous soumettez pas à la tentation, mais délivrez-nous du mal.
Thank you. Vous venez juste d'entendre deux pièces de Christophe Migone qui sont tirées du disque Record Release. Et avant ça, c'était le plaidoyer musical de Louis Riel par Normand Guilbeault. Ce sont tous les deux des disques d'ambiance magnétique, le label montréalais. Je vous dis à dans deux semaines. On finit avec notre très jolie sexy Madame Saint-Onge. Vous écoutez CKUT.
Following is a previously broadcast program.
CKUT. It's You Need Hard to Live 2.